This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Great question, by the way, Craig. This is very good.
Thank you. I try. Anthony, clip that and send it to the boss.
The Hoffman Show.
Get this man a raise. There we go.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
What's happening? It's the Hoffman Show with Craig actually, you know, hosting it. Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are actually not live on YouTube today. So if you are someone who typically consumes the first part of the show on your commute home and then flips us on YouTube afterwards, you're just going to have to stick with the Odyssey app once you are out of your car. Or perhaps you still have a radio somewhere in your... Where is that thing? Knock off the dust. Turn on that old style radio in your home and keep on listening to the show. Because I am still in Columbus, Ohio on Uncle Craig duty for the next couple of days. That's where I've been. Got a new member to the family last week and helping out with some family stuff, but did not want to miss the full Commanders Cowboys week. So I'm operating from a remote location in Columbus, Ohio, where we cannot also have the YouTube stream going, but happy to be back on the radio talking football with all of you. And good to talk to you again, Anthony. How'd you survive the last couple of days there, pal?
I just survived. Yesterday was definitely a lot, but, you know, we managed to survive, and we're here today, and, yeah.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for your survival. Survival's better than not surviving.
Yes.
If you will. By the way, what's the weather like there?
Oh, my God. Oh, well, you're in Ohio, so you probably have it worse, but it's cold, man. It is cold. I walked outside with just a hoodie on today. And I'm feeling it, dude. I need a coat
yeah,
ASAP.
It's snowing here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. So, which was really funny when we took the 3-year-old, my niece, to school this morning. And all she wanted to do was tell her teachers that it was snowing as if they didn't already know. but what I realized as we walked into her classroom and she runs in towards her teachers and goes, "It's snowing," is that every single kid that had been dropped off before my niece had also done the same thing. Because Lincoln screams, "It's snowing!" And then every other kid goes, "It's snowing!" And that's how our morning started this morning, which is a good time.
That's a hell of a time. Did she get to play on the snow, though, at all?
I don't think they went outside today. I don't know that they played in the snow. I did want to kind of pull her out of school or at least drop her off late and play in the snow. But there was just enough that we probably could have played it in a little bit. It was more of a dusting than it was like a big, you know, snow drift kind of situation.
Yeah, it wasn't,
which is also nice because driving my in-laws' minivan through the snow was not how I wanted to spend my Thursday morning. So the roads were good. We got her to school. We did what we had to do. I got back to where I'm staying, and we recorded Take Command. So folks can check out Logan and I talking Commanders Cowboys there, and obviously we'll talk about it here on the show as well. But yeah, I'm just kind of like, hey, what's happening back home? Because I've been in such a focused non-work place for a couple of days. We'll do some story time later in the hour as well about the half marathon that I ran last week. That was a good time, depending on, I should say, how many calls we have. If you guys inundate the phone lines, because you missed me too, we'll take as many of your calls as possible this hour. Talking about Commanders and Cowboys, it's our pleasure to welcome Dan Pizzuto back to the show at 5 o'clock today. He's been in Australia, speaking of family stuff, at his sister's wedding the last couple of weeks, and then obviously taking a little bit of time out there in Australia, because why would you go to Australia for a short trip? It's way too long of a trip to do a short trip, so we'll welcome Pizzuto back, see if he picked up an Australian accent along the way. That'd be a cool trick. G'day, mate. And then we'll see what else we got. We got delayed competition Wednesday. We still got to get that in. Never read the comments on a Thursday. All that's still to come. But, as I check back in, and obviously I've been keeping tabs of kind of what Dan's been saying, some of the injury news, all that kind of stuff. But as I check back in, earlier today on the Commanders and, you know, reading the transcripts, listening to Cliff and Joe and, you know, all the stuff that's coming out of the locker room today, it's really interesting to hear the different coaches talk about the familiarity here. And Logan and I talked about it this morning, actually, before Joe talked about it at the podium this afternoon. And I thought it was particularly interesting for Witt because he talked about not only does, you know, Mike McCarthy know him from the years they had together under Quinn, but like this is a guy that he was with for over a decade in Green Bay. So Joe, you know, you think of like his bosses, his mentors in the industry. Mike McCarthy has been an enormous influence on Joe Witt, just by the nature of being his head coach. Even if there may be other guys that have been more influential in a concentrated way, you don't work for someone for 11 years, which is what you're doing. Like the head coach is ultimately your boss. And so for 11 years, Joe Witt Jr. is with Mike McCarthy. And he also laid out some very specific things for the way that McCarthy does business that I actually really like from like a coaching perspective and a philosophical level that make the familiarity that much deeper when it comes to Witt and McCarthy.
Probably more challenging because, you know, I was with Mike for a long time, 11 years in Green Bay, 3 years there. We've had a lot of conversations. We do this thing called Cross the Hall there where the defensive coaches go work with the offensive players. And so I've gone back and looked at all my Cross the Hall meetings. What have I told them that's difficult? You know, and same thing with Kellen. He, you know, the big play, he sort of hit us on something that I said in one of those Cross the Hall meetings was difficult, you know, but I knew it. We already knew that was going to come, but he hit it. And so that's part of it. When you're at an organization and you're trying to win, you're not trying to hold anything back. But when coaches start going to other places, you know, information goes with it. So that's part of the NFL football.
And Joe's right. This is something that you have to deal with in the league. Guys are all over the place. You know, staffs get fired every year. They get hired somewhere else. And sometimes, you know, guys get promoted and that's where it goes. We're like, oh yeah, he was my wide receivers coach and now he's the OC and he's working on another team. He's going to go across the hall and tell the DC all the things that I told him that helped him get that OC job in the first place. Like these are the kinds of things that happen, but it also works both ways. Like, you know, you're providing feedback as a head coach. If you're Mike McCarthy to Dan Quinn and Joe Witt as your defensive staff, and that comes from the way you're thinking as an offensive coach. So Dan and Joe absolutely know how Mike McCarthy feels. And these cross the hall meetings, I think are really great for the now, but they become dangerous later. It doesn't mean you shouldn't do them because you can also adapt, adjust. And, you know, I think that it's enhanced in terms of the clarity of certain things. And, you know, if you said, hey, I really like this for a certain reason, some of the specifics maybe can be coached. But that also, you know, that comes down to how you are as a teacher, because that information overload can also become too much for players. So how do you make sure that you do a good job of kind of almost like maybe I'm using this analogy because I've been in uncle mode the last couple of days. And, you know, you think about these kinds of things with kids, like, you know, almost like sneaking vegetables into their chicken nuggets or something, because you want to make sure they get the nutritional value. Like, how do you sneak that information into your regular presentation? So all of a sudden you're not going, hey, this week I know the offensive coordinator, so we're going to add 1,000 things to the scouting report for you guys to think of. So you place like your feet are stuck in the mud on Sunday because you're thinking about everything. Like, no, you just have to find a way to maybe get a little bit more into the game plan, or as you coach the game plan, you can add a little bit more detail, a little bit more clarity, and then you have to keep your information straight, and maybe it helps you call the game in the moment where it's 3rd and 7 and you know, hey, we're going to alert this because we know in 3rd and medium or 3rd and long that they like this concept, and hey, by the way, if they go trips, then watch out for this because that's definitely going to be it. But that's coaching. That's stuff you can also figure out a lot of it from film study. Like that's what all these, you know, quality control coaches and assistants do, is they do the scouting of all the formations and, hey, we like this. Don't they like that? Based off this down distance formation personnel, this is a tell. Like players do their own film study and they might be able to tell something. So all this stuff is there. It's just a lot more confirmed, and that can work for or against you, depending on how well you decipher the information, how well the other guy zigs when you set up a zag. Like there's all kinds of things that go into kind of this game theory of familiarity in the NFL, but it's also something that is not new for Joe Witt Jr. And Dan Quinn. In fact, they just dealt with it last week with Kellen Moore, who was with them in Dallas as the OC for a couple of years. And it's something they'll continue to deal with. And not to mention, you know, other stops that they've had along the way. You know, when Dan has played Kyle Shanahan since they left each other in Atlanta, like on down the list of different coaches that they've faced in and out of the organizations that they've been in, including many successful staffs, that, you know, that 2016 Atlanta staff has kind of turned into 2012 Washington staff, where there's a team photo with a lot of head coaches and a lot of coordinators in it. So there is just tremendous familiarity around the league, and how to navigate that is an ongoing process that you want to both do what you do, but do just enough differently that you're not just, you know, sitting there fishing a barrel for the other coordinator to pick off. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, let's talk some football and let's do it together. Cause, you know, I've been out all week. You guys have thoughts on both, you know, had a weekend and now a couple days, a full week, in fact, to sit on the Eagles loss. Maybe some different thoughts emerging there, and looking ahead to Cowboys week. Do you feel like this is a team that the Commanders can bounce back against? So it's kind of a remix of a vibe check Tuesday almost. Like I just want to check in, you know, as I reemerge, from all the 3-year old, you know, Uncle Craig activities that I've been doing all week. And let's see where you guys are checking in at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. We're talking football here on a Thursday on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are taking your calls at 301-230-0980. Again, the Team 980 listener line is 301-230-0980. And I'm just curious, kind of a vibe check Thursday as I was out on Tuesday, how you're feeling about the Commanders. You know, we talked on Friday after the Eagles game. Then I've been out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And in that time, we've had a chance to see, for instance, the Steelers and what they did to Baltimore. So does that maybe add any context? Just the emotional wear of, hey, it's the day after the game, has worn off a little bit. I certainly have some thoughts on where I think this team is going into the back half of their season, but I want to hear from you at 301-230-0980. So let's get things started with Aaron in D.C. Aaron, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Hang on a second. Hey, Craig, thank you for taking me on air. So I thought Jaden Daniels was a lot more hurt than he originally was. And looking at it carefully and watching him play against Baltimore, it was clear to me that Pittsburgh's defense was really what was causing a problem. I think the same thing happened with Philly. I expect Daniels to play a lot better once he gets a chance to go against teams like Dallas. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, Aaron. And again, if you want to join the party, 301-230-0980. The Daniels injury thing is hilarious to me because people want it to be true so bad when Quinn and Daniels himself have kind of consistently said, like, I'm good. And I think what you see when Lamar has some similar struggles against Pittsburgh and they do what they do against the Ravens, the Steelers do what they do against the Ravens, people are like, oh, that's just what it looks like to play quarterback against the Steelers. And then, like, you go back and watch how inept the Cowboys offense was. I know there's some folks out there that do their own film study, but, for me, just like watching the Cowboys Eagles game, like, it doesn't even feel worth it watching that tape because the Cowboys are so inept in that football game offensively. And part of that is that's who the Cowboys are right now offensively. They're very, very, very limited, with what they can do. And there's some specific reasons behind that, starting with the fact that that is an offense that is very quarterback reliant. And with all due respect to Cooper Rush, he's a distinct backup in this league compared to Dak Prescott, who unlocks some of the things that they can do in that offense at a pretty high level. And so when you look at that and you're like, oh, that's just what it looks like to play against the Eagles. That's just what it looks like to play against the Steelers. Well, that's not a guy that's hurt. That's a guy that looks like he's playing the Steelers. Looks like he's playing the Eagles. Then again, it's not like, and I guess the other part of it too is this, right? It's not that he's 100%, but it's not like he should be benched. And I don't know that it's affecting him that much. Like, I think we can live in that slightly gray area, because Cliff Kingsbury was asked today actually about, did he change any play calls while Jaden was banged up, with the presumption being that he's 100% healthy now after this little mini bye. And Cliff was like, oh, I'm not going to divulge that. And Dan, it kind of has. He's like, yeah, the week after against Chicago, like, we didn't run him very much. And maybe the coaching instructions were a little bit different. But they came out the week after that and they ran him on like the first series. Just maybe that was a prove a point. Like, hey, you better think about this defensively. And then obviously Pittsburgh bottled him up in a major way. Philly bottled him up in a major way, but it wasn't for lack of trying. And they're a shoestring tackle away from Jaden having a couple of big runs in that game. But like, that's the NFL. Quarterback draws, especially, which are the two big, play opportunities that got missed. Like, those plays are typically a shoestring tackle away from being blocked up perfectly. A guy just gets in the way enough, slows the guy down, and if not, it gets out for a big gain. Screens are the same way. Man, if you watch all 22 of screens, quarterback draws, you know, some of these plays, you're like, oh God, that's so close. But that's the thing. They tend to be so close 85% of the time, and then the 15% time, they're pretty big plays. So for Jaden, like, I think the bigger thing was the running. But the biggest impact on the running, or the biggest difference in his performance now versus his performance earlier in the season, is the running. The running was much more because of the defenses they played versus anything else. And then some of the missed throws, I don't know that those were injury related. I think those are interior pressure related. The Eagles and the Steelers did a tremendous job of getting interior pressure, speeding him up a little bit. And Jaden is not Josh Allen or Anthony Richardson or Pat Mahomes when it comes to the ability to throw any ball anywhere off any platform. Jaden's superpower as a thrower is he can get a good base underneath him way more often than other quarterbacks. He's so athletic and so quick and so twitchy that he can move, shake, and then get his base underneath and throw really well. And he's had a couple of off-platform throws this year that were, you know, probably more than he showed at LSU. But he still is going to be way better at getting his base underneath him and driving the football. And you watch, like, the throw against Philly where he's got Noah Brown on the crosser, and he throws it at his feet. Like, Jaden's feet are a mess. And that just hasn't happened very often. And that's happening because he's sped up and facing pressure, not because he's trying to protect his rib in any way. If anything, the rib would force him to be even more cautious with his mechanics and try to drive through his lower half instead of torquing his upper body. And that's clearly not what's happened on some of these missed throws. 301-230-0980. Let's go to DC. DC, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show.
Great day, Craig. How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling pretty good, bro. Appreciate you calling in.
That's good. Yeah, I think the losses are disappointing losses because, well, of course, we had one game we could have won against the Steelers. We let it go at the end of the game. And then against the Eagles, we expected to perform well. It was a division game. Those games that we look to win more often than you know, the other games, because we want to win the division. But I really like the fact that we had a long break after the Eagles game. Hopefully we can heal up a little bit, have some introspection, do some self-scouting, and then after the Cowboys win, we get another long break, everyone come back as healthy as they can be and push for the playoffs, man.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, DC. Appreciate the call, because I think the other area where this offense has really struggled is the timing. And some of that is the passing game, but a lot of that is the run game and the screen game, which are so detail oriented. And when you're banged up, it's just hard to hit those in the same timing and rhythm. Like, you know, if you're running at 90, even 95% compared to 100, and you've practiced at 100 earlier in the year, like, Well, that's 5% that you're going to be off. And from both the strength, the speed, obviously this is even harder against the quality of opponent that you're seeing. They just haven't been able to hit some of the stuff they've hit earlier in the year. And I'll say this. I've actually got an analogy that I think will speak to a lot of people that I can roll out next, along with more of your calls, in terms of what this Dallas defense looks like compared to the Philly and Pittsburgh defenses. So let's do that next and take more of your calls. 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. Commanders rested up, ready to go. Just still taking kind of your pulse check of the team here on what we're going to call a vibe check Thursday on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Again, not streaming live on YouTube today or tomorrow. I'll be back on our normal platforms on Monday as I'm operating remote today. But very happy to be back on Monday. But got some family stuff that on the road traveling. But still want to make sure that we're doing the show here on Cowboys Week, on Dallas Week. And is that still a thing? I know Linnell was talking about this on the show yesterday. Anthony and I are going to dive in a moment. But first, Ant, an analogy, if I could. You ever had just those weeks at work? And I realize this is extra funny for me to ask you this because work for you is dealing with me. But you ever have those weeks at work that just feel extra hard and constricted, and you know the stakes are really, really high? And, you know, for people maybe outside of our business, like they have a huge project and just their boss is on down their neck and every detail has to be perfect. And whether it's school, work, like you know what kind of that feeling that I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
So that feeling is what it feels like to play against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles in 5 days, 2 games, 5 days against those teams. And then, you know how, like, after you survive that, and maybe you didn't crush the project, but like you did a good enough job, you survived, and you're just happy that it's over. And then maybe you get a couple days off, and then you look up and you have a new project coming at you, but it's something that you've done a million times, and you're like, I'm going to crush this. And just like, it feels like it's not that hard of a project, but it feels 11 times easier because of the difficulty of the last two.
You said the last two?
Or the last project, or the last crunch.
Yeah.
In this case, you know, kind of peeling the window back, or the dressing back on the analogy, like the last two games. Yeah. That, and you just feel like, oh, I can breathe. That's what it feels like watching the Cowboys tape compared to watching the Eagles and the Steelers. And that's not to say that it's easy, right? Mike Zimmer, very, very good defensive coordinator, been around the league a long time, you know, just like Vic Fangio, a godfather of modern NFL defense, like all the double A gap blitzing and a lot of stuff that a lot of coordinators around the league do. Mike Zimmer's the guy who came up with that stuff. And so there are things that you have to be locked in on. And I think Dan talked about it yesterday. Like there's stuff that he took from Mike Zimmer, that the Commanders use. And Micah Parsons is Micah freaking Parsons. Like there are definitely guys that you have to watch out for on the Dallas defense. And they've got some speed. Like it's not a bad unit on paper, and it's not coordinated well on paper. But the game's not played on paper, and watching it is like, oh yeah, the Commanders can put up points on these guys. Like there is just air in the defense. Like there is space. There is a defensive line that again has some talent and is some guys that have a little bit of juice to them, but that can be moved. And they don't get great interior pressure in the way that Pittsburgh and Philly did. Like Adigizua and Mozzie Smith, like they're okay pass rushers. They have some speed moves, but they're not going to push the pocket every single snap like the guys in Pittsburgh do. Casey Hayward, Keanu Benton, that crew, like Jalen Carter did in Philly. So like the idea that Jaden will have an actual pocket is a thing that will return this week from a speed standpoint. Yeah, they've got some really fast guys, but they don't always play fast. So they will give up a big gain and then rally really well to the football once it becomes chase and tackle. But here's the thing about that. They're not even that good at tacklers. And so I just think that when I watched the film and did the prep work for Take Command and for the show, for this show to get ready for Dallas, the last couple of weeks watching it, there was like an anxiety to it. Like, oh my God, this is rough. Like, playing against this is terrible. There's not, I don't know where the opportunities are going to come from unless like Jaden and Terry and these guys just make a bunch of plays. This week, I'm like, call a dagger concept and the high cross is going to be open. Call a slant flat concept, something that's in every offense in the NFL. And I watched last week Houston call it, and not like with any window dressing. There's no play action on this. There's no like motion, just literally tight end lined up like a tight end, receiver on a very normal split to the outside. That's a two receiver side. They got whatever they got going on the other side. And Dallas is in, I'm pretty sure it was a cover two, if I'm remembering the play correctly. And just like the corner just forgot that the tight end could be the player that he would have to cover in the flat. And so the receiver runs a slant. This corner, whose whole responsibility is the flat, runs with the slant for five steps and then realizes, oh, Dalton Schultz just ran to the flat. That's my zone. Like, that's not misdirection or confusion. That's basic NFL day one install offense. And the Dallas's corner is just like, woo, I go this way. And that's the kind of stuff that happens to them all the time. And so, again, not that this is going to be easy. And the offense is in many ways the same thing. They have a lot of really potent players. Like Turpin, obviously, you saw him take that slant to the house last week. CeeDee Lamb is a monster. But they just don't have the continuity, snap in, snap out, down in, down out consistency to play good football. And what we've seen, and I'm not predicting this because it's a division game and it's a different deal, but what we've seen, Anthony, when the Commanders get this kind of opponent this year, is they crush them. And I think that returning to that form, while it wouldn't necessarily like assuage everyone's concerns when it comes to like, oh, can they beat good teams? Like, they're going to struggle to beat the best in the league. One, because they're the best in the league. Two, because they're under-talented. And they're young in key spots and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think that's fine. They're in year one of a rebuild. And I hope the goal for next year is to be able to compete with those kinds of teams. And certainly 2 years from now to be one of those teams. But against teams the caliber of the 3-7 Dallas Cowboys, they've been awesome this year. And I kind of expect them to return to that form. And if they do, I think that's a great sign for the rest of the season where you have teams like the Saints, the Titans, whatever on the schedule. You beat Dallas, you beat those two teams, and you know, you win one of the other remaining games against, obviously, you got Philly again, you got Atlanta, but you got Dallas twice. Like, we're talking about a 10-11 win season without, quote unquote, having to beat a good team if you're not going to count Arizona or whatever you want to do with Cincinnati in terms of them being great offensively and really bad defensively.
Yeah, teams we've supposed to have beaten, we've done a good job against. I will say the game against the Giants, the first game, I guess that was that our first win?
That was week two. Like, it just felt like they were still
a weird game.
It was a weird game. And here's the other thing I'll say. I'm glad you brought up that game. Like, there's moments in that game for the defense that look like what Dallas is still dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Logan made this point on the pod this morning I thought was really astute. He's like, this defense has flashes and has moments, but it looks like they're still learning the defense. It's year one of a coordinator. And he goes, it reminds me of the Commanders earlier in the season where they just couldn't pass off stuff right. And, you know, you got guys being confused on having to communicate, and simple formation stuff would just get them. And it's like, okay, that's going to happen with a new coordinator, but that shouldn't still be happening by week 11. And that's what's happening to Dallas is defensively, they're still making these mistakes in week 11 compared to the Commanders, who more or less got them cleaned up by about week 4. And that I think we should be grateful for Witt and Quinn and that defensive staff for by and large cleaning that stuff up to where now when teams get big plays, it's because guys are making plays against them versus just giving up big plays like they did earlier in the season.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. It did take us a little while to sort of kind of get adjusted to everything that's going on for the season anyway. So even just looking ahead at what we have in Dallas, what we have in Tennessee, what we have in the Saints, I think this just sort of kind of gives me more hope, because if we've learned from the beginning of the season, if we've, you know, decided that we're going to follow through with everything that's being preached and things of that nature. It aligns well for the Commanders just because I think a lot of last season was about not having great coaching. And I think this year we've seen the opposite side of that, where we are getting great coaching and we're seeing it on the field. So I think a game like the Cowboys, I think this is a game where we can, you know, continue to polish things and work towards being the best team that, you know, we're going to be as the season goes on, kind of thing.
100%. And I think that it also, you know, you get back to some of the basics, some of the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. Cliff and Joe, but especially Cliff, talked about that with Jaden today. He's like, what do you work on this week? Well, we want to get back and just say, hey, let's work on the footwork. Let's work on the reads. Mm-hmm. Let's work on the progression. Let's just nail the fundamentals. And you can get back to that. It's a chance to reset both the mini bye and a game of this caliber. It's a chance to reset a little bit. And then when you get Philly again, probably the hardest game left on the schedule. Okay, well, now let's test ourselves. And the thing is, maybe they lose against Philly again and everyone goes into the playoffs. And, you know, again, if we're going into the playoffs with any thoughts about a game ahead, that is a good thing because that means they've made the playoffs. And there's no reason why their first big win of this season can't, or their first, you know, win against a good team this season can't come against a team that they're playing in the playoffs, that they will have learned the lessons and internalized them and been able to summon them and apply them in the right way in a playoff game. And maybe it's the first time that they meet that threshold, but guess what? They're not going to be like, actually, you don't advance to the next round because that's the first time you've done that this year. The Commanders were terrible last year. What that got them was a bunch of other terrible teams on their schedule, and they have mostly beaten those terrible teams. And if that's good enough to get in the playoffs, great. It's not like when Gruden did it or when Rivera did it, when they got in at 7-9 or you know, whatever Ron got in the 2020 season. Like, it's not like they're sneaking in. Like, they're probably going to get in with their highest win total they've had since the 2010s, they've never won 10 games, I don't think, under Gruden. They never won it under Rivera. So we're talking at least since 2012. So they, like, that's great. Now, what do they do when they get there? To me, that's like extra cherries on the sundae. Like, the cherry is already on top. It's like, oh, cool. Let's add some extra sprinkles for fun, because this is not, they're so far ahead of expectations. But That is counting on them doing the things that they've done already this season, and that is certainly not guaranteed. And that's kind of, I think, what makes Sunday fun, is this is a great test to return to that, to say, like, is that who you are, or has something gone wrong here late? Because we know football seasons are long and things change. As for the rivalry itself, is it still the rivalry, and how do the players and the coaches think about it at this point of the Dallas-Washington rivalry? It's Dallas week, that's for sure, but what does that mean anymore? 301-230-0980, we can get your calls in on that as well. And then Dan Pizzuta joins us coming up at 5 o'clock. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too, at the Team 980. Is Cowboys Commanders still a rivalry? Anthony, you were telling me that over the last couple of days on this show, as I was out, Linnell was saying no. The youngest in charge has put himself in charge again and has made a declarative statement that lots of people disagree with, including you. What did he say, and how do you feel about it as the resident DC native on this show, as opposed to my silly transplant self, who once upon a time perhaps had a different perspective on this because he worked in the other city?
This guy Linnell yesterday, man, he was saying some crazy stuff. Basically, he said Sunday's game is just another game, and that rivalries like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are far, you know, better than the Commanders, Cowboys. He also equated it to being like Groundhog's Day, just another day. He was definitely laying some punchlines yesterday, and I was just sitting over here just like, dude, you don't understand. Like, just because in our 20, you know, well, my 28 years of life, we haven't really had a real rivalry with Dallas, or they've more so dominated, doesn't, you know, take away from the fact we, at a point in time, you know, was dominating in like the 80s and early 90s and things of that nature. Right. I don't think you can disregard that. So that's why I said maybe it's our turn, you know, to go on like a 10-15 year dominant spree, but I still respect it.
I think it's actually hilarious that he brought up Caitlin and Angel, because it actually gets to the core of what makes a rivalry great. There are some rivalries that should just happen because of geography. Washington-Dallas is by no means one of them. I'm actually reading my old professor, Dennis Dettinger, wrote a book on the Super Bowl, and he had in it, there's a lot of history of the NFL, and we actually talked to Dettinger about the book on the show if people want to check that out in the podcast archive or on YouTube or whatever. But in like the original, after post-merger alignment of NFL divisions, the Cowboys for some reason have always been in the NFC East. And like, if you think that the geography doesn't make sense now, man, you should have seen some of the original divisions they had when they merged the AFL and the NFL and got it all together and had to move teams around and, you know, convince a couple of teams financially, you know, to switch conferences. Like, but Dallas for some reason always has always been with New York and with Washington on the East side. And remember, the Arizona Cardinals used to be in the NFC East, because of course that makes sense for all of our, you know, for those of you that aren't great with maps, Arizona's very not east. And by the way, neither is Dallas. But to Linnell's point, and I love it because Linnell is the king of like having really good information and then drawing the wildest conclusions ever with it. But like, what makes the Caitlin Angel rivalry something? Like, Iowa LSU doesn't mean anything. Chicago, Indiana, that one, at least geographically, those two cities aren't that far apart. And there's maybe a little big brother, little brother, but it's because they played for really high stakes games and both teams had some success. And then because they were competing really hard, there was some, you know, competition level animosity. I think those two respect each other for sure, but like the fans on either side have their things, and that opens up a whole can of worms specific to that rivalry. But, you know, with Washington and Dallas, the rivalry started because these were two great teams, like Staubach and the Cowboys teams, and then, you know, some of the Washington teams into the 80s, and you know, they kind of traded being the best in the NFC East, and the Giants then came along in the early 90s with Parcells, and on down the list of the history of this division, the Eagles obviously have their say, especially in the 2000s. They've probably been the most consistent team. Although the Giants have a couple of Super Bowl rings in that time, so they probably want a word, even though they're at the bottom of things right now. Point is, like, the rivalry happens because there's really important games that are played. And some of the NFC Championship games between Washington and Dallas in the 80s and early 90s, like, those were the games. I mean, especially the early 90s, as Dallas is getting their three Super Bowls and Washington's coming up at the end of their tenure. Were Washington and Dallas the best two teams in football? They played in the same division? I think you could probably make an argument for some of that time. And so I think that, like, to Linnell's point, it's hard for a younger generation to care about stuff that happened before they were born unless they were, like you, Anthony, indoctrinated in it. You grew up being taught by your dad and other folks around you that were around in those days to be like, hey, we're fans of the Burgundy and Gold team and we hate Dallas. And that just isn't everybody's thing. And I think a lot of younger fans now like care a lot more about players than they do the laundry, if you will. But I think at the core of sports is still that kind of irrational hatred. And that's what the best of it is like, we're all maybe a little bit in on the joke. And then there's some parts of the fan bases that aren't in on it. And I'm not saying it's actually a joke, just kind of in on it. I'll say not even a joke slash the joke. And it's like, why do you hate them? Because I do. Because I despise them. There's no good reason. I just do. You know, for us, and I realize we're going to say this in doing a radio show on a station that carries Georgetown games, nevertheless, in Washington, D.C., but like, as Syracuse alums, we don't like Georgetown. Secretly, would I tell you it's a really great school? Sure.
What time is it, Craig?
It's currently 4:54, and Georgetown still sucks.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Is there any rationale behind it? Of course not. Other than that's where I went to school and that's what I was taught. It's part of the curriculum. And so, yeah, do I understand that these two teams have not been good at the same time in a long time? And that is going to absolutely crush the fervor of a rivalry. Yes. I also think this is a bit of a one-sided rivalry, having had the experience of working in Dallas for a couple years. And especially when, when I was there, Dallas was good. This is like the 2013, 2014 Cowboys with Romo and the beginning of Prescott, but the best O-line in the league. Their defense was pretty good. Dez Bryant's there. He's one of the best receivers in football. They have this stupid, you know, Dez caught it game in Green Bay where he did actually catch it, even though I'm sure a lot of people listening disagree. But that's because you hate the Cowboys irrationally because you're Commanders fans, and that's okay. I endorse that. But the point being, like, the Cowboys just were like, yeah, whoever the other good team is, if it's Philly, then we hate Philly. That's our biggest rival. We're the biggest one. Our biggest rival is the one coming for our throne because we're the Cowboys and we are king. And now, as we'll get to and never read the comments a little over half hour from now, I think the rest of the NFC East is kind of looking at Washington being like, oh, crap. Like, I think we figured out there. That terrible owner is gone. That their head coach is a real head coach. Jaden Daniels looks like a dude. Like, for Philly, who has kind of ascended to that role of king of the division, like, there's a couple comments that I got this last week from Eagles fan, like, hey, we know we got y'all this time, but, like, we also know you're coming. And so I am curious if the Cowboys just fall, like, the rivalries can going to continue to disintegrate because the Cowboys are going to become the punching bags for the next couple of years at the end of the Jerry Jones era. If somehow Jerry pulls another rabbit out of his hat and they become competitive and Washington and Dallas do battle a bunch of times over the next decade, then the rivalry, I think, will be as strong as ever.
Nah, I feel you then. I feel you, man. I mean, it was just, again, interesting. And that's also in part to why I said the last couple of days was long, because Linnell was in here talking about, you know, Dallas and the Commanders. But good, it's always a good conversation. I feel like we gotta.
But to be dismissive of it and pretend like it's nothing. Like, it's not nothing.
Yeah.
It's not nothing. There's years and years of history that are behind it. Is it at its peak right now? No. But does that mean that it is nothing? No. And is it fun to beat up on your rival when they stink? Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Hell yeah.
Like. Yeah. And so, you know, then there's what Syracuse and Georgetown has become the last couple of years, where it's we both stink, and then we're fighting amongst ourselves, watching all of the people that used to be our peers laugh at us. But we don't need to talk about that right now. What we do need to do is talk to Dan Pizzuta, our pal from the 33rd team, rejoins the show for his Thursday visits for the rest of the season. Pretty pumped to get Dan back on the show talking about what he saw when the Commanders faced the Eagles and how he looks ahead to the Cowboys matchup next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.